It took a total of 8 days for me to get my physical print-on-demand copy of Trinity Continuum Assassins in the mail, and I could not be happier with this thing. Well, actually, I could be a little bit happier. Welcome back, everybody, to Trinity Continuum Airwaves. My name is Corey Reynolds. I am your host, and this is a podcast all about the Trinity Continuum. So what about this book? What about this print-on-demand book? I love it. It is beautiful. It is a gorgeous book, very tightly bound. The cover is gorgeous. The back cover is gorgeous. The interior artwork, you can hear me flipping through it right now. The interior artwork is phenomenal. The layout of this book is, it sets a new standard for Trinity Continuum books. But I do have to say, I do wish this thing were traditionally printed. I am such a huge fan of the traditionally printed books with the sewn binding and the matte and gloss mixture on the covers, the raised letters and all that kind of stuff. There's a reason why we do Kickstarters for these things. It's because they are gorgeous and we want them to be gorgeous in our hands like that. That being said, I do appreciate that they decided to do this Assassin's book in the middle of, you know, all these other things that Onyx Path has going on in the Kickstarter space. They decided that they wanted to get this book out a little quicker and do it this way. It still has produced an absolutely phenomenal book, and so I'm very happy with it. It's just that some of those little things I would like a little better. And you know, with when you get the standard paper, which I do with all these print on demands, I just can't see myself paying for the premium paper. But I don't even know if there's that much of a difference in the fact that it sort of curls. The standard paper has a bit of a curl to it. If you just sort of hold it open, the paper will kind of bend and curve one way or the other, unlike the traditionally printed stuff. So, but aside from a couple of those minor gripes, I mean, this book is fantastic. I mean, not only the content, is great. I'm loving this whole Assassin's thing. Being able to play games like John Wick and that kind of thing is really super cool. I always appreciate the inspirational fiction at the beginning of these things because it gives me some stuff to watch and gives me some books to read that maybe I haven't seen before. And this one is no different in that respect. But I just want to make one mention of probably, let me just say the two coolest things about this book. First of all, just one being in the content, the storytelling chapter of this book is gold. It is so ridiculously good, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more as I really dig in and read through this thing, but the way that it gives you all of these tips on how to design stories where you are playing in the three different kind of arenas, the daylight, the twilight, and the shadow, that's really, really good. But then as it goes into planning some of these really big adventures, which they call black boxes, there is some phenomenal stuff there, including some really fleshed out examples of some games that you could be playing or types of games that you could be playing. I think they're really, really good. Like I said, I think this is the sort of like selling point of this book. Well, it's hard to say that because there's so much good stuff here, but that is a real standout to me. And the appendix of this book is catching up the Trinity Continuum to perhaps where it should be. I would love to see, as I've said before, with the StoryPath Ultra coming out, I would love to see the core Trinity Continuum core book get updated with some of this kind of stuff. But in the appendix for Assassins, there is a character creation quick guide, which finally gets down to the brass tacks of exactly how many points you get for certain things, where you put them, when you put them there, and all that kind of stuff. It's super helpful. We need this for every bit of the Trinity Continuum, especially the core. And then there are some great a few pages here on weapon tags, armor tags, and vehicle tags, which are awesome. Those really help to be able to quickly design some of those sorts of things. And then just tables on different ranges, damage, enhancement examples, example weapons, armors, vehicles. Really cool stuff. It can often be difficult to find some of that stuff unless you have your PDF copy heavily bookmarked like I do to be able to flip between all that. It's really cool in the physical book to just have it all in one spot so that if you have the physical thing at the table, you can just flip back to the back there and get right into it. So some ultra cool stuff in the Assassin's book. If you are on the fence about getting the print on demand, let me just say this thing is very pretty. It looks good sitting next to all the rest of them on the shelf. And so get yourself a copy of that. I got mine 8 days after it went on sale, drive-through RPG. So very quick turnaround. Well, it's going to be a bit of a short show today. The only thing I really want to focus on before I head out today is some of the cool stuff that I've been reading in the Eon book, and specifically the ISRA. That is the Interplanetary School of Research and Advancement. This is the Clairsentient Psionic Order, which, you know, if you're a power gamer like me, sometimes when you're talking about clairsentience, like those sorts of things, being able to see, like scrying and all that kind of stuff, it's not, like for instance, the scry spell in Dungeons and Dragons isn't nearly as interesting for most people as the lightning bolt spell or the fireball spell. And so, you know, as I'm reading through the Eon book, I expect to find a lot of my interests lying in the Legions or in Orgotech. But I will say that the ISRA reminds me, some of what I've read there reminds me so much of one of my favorite parts of Exalted that I just couldn't help but think, wow, if you connect the ISRA in your mind with the sidereals in Exalted, I think for me that really brings a lot more excitement to this particular organization. And because in an Exalted game, if you're playing like a sidereals game, the sidereals are these like heavenly agents that sit up in heaven. They look over fate and they look for tangles in the web of fate to figure out, you know, this is going to cause a big problem in the world, or this person, if allowed to sort of flourish, would cause the world to go in a very positive direction. And so then, you know, these agents of fate come down to earth and try to interfere in the affairs of man to direct things according to the most, you know, the most blessed outcome. Well, that is essentially exactly what the ISRA is doing in the Trinity Continuum. These clairsentients are, they're looking into the future. They're looking along the strands of fate using their psionic abilities, and they are picking out the same kinds of targets. They are looking for these people who are very special, who if encouraged in a certain way could bring a lot of peace and prosperity to the world, or they're seeing events coming down the pipe that are going to perhaps cause a huge amount of problems for the people of Earth or the solar system or whatever. And so they come in like these agents of fate to try to fix things. Now, in some ways, it's sort of dark. It's sort of like in the Winter Soldier movie in the MCU, where they had the helicarriers that were designed to pick out threats before they happened and then just take people out who are going to be a threat. There is a severe, thread of authoritarianism and tyranny that is involved in that. Well, I'm going to kill you before you can commit a crime, which definitely is problematic and brings some pretty cool drama, some pretty cool dark drama to the thing. But then there's also that sort of touched by an angel sort of a situation where you've got, you know, I want to help you realize all of your potential. And so I think playing on that juxtaposition of, you know, trying to elevate someone to their sort of best future, or putting a stop to someone before they can do the evil thing that you think may be coming, with the future being uncertain and everything else. I mean, that brings some very interesting drama to the thing. I think it would be a lot of fun to play this particular organization, this particular order, but at the same time, you don't all have to be clairsentients. That's the great thing about the way Eon is set up, that you have these orders with all these, you know, each psionic order has its own Prometheus chamber that, you know, will help a latent scion to become that particular, have that particular aptitude. If you get in the clairsentience chamber, you're going to be a clairsentient. That's just the way it works. But also the people, the orders that have these chambers, they are not locked down to the point where, you know, if you use their Prometheus chamber to unlock that particular aptitude, you must be a member of that order. Surely the order has typically has more of the scions that have that aptitude that matches their Prometheus chamber than any other sort of aptitude, but they are all welcoming of people from other walks of life, other aptitudes. And in doing so, that actually helps them to accomplish their goals much more readily. In fact, the book very many times states that the different orders really want members of the Upeo Wamacho to, you know, the teleporters, because it helps everybody get where they're going, the, you know, as fast as they can get there. And so anyway, you don't have to be a clairsentient in order to play a game that is connected to the ISRA. You can be anything. You can have your cool, you know, fireball powers and back up these clairsentients who are going to find people who are creating snags of fate, you know? And so anyway, I just think that that would be a lot of fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun to come up with a game using the ISRA as the main setting for the game and the main impetus for the adventure. And anyway, if there are those of you out there who have played games using ISRA as sort of the main impetus, let us know what sort of things you have done. I'd be interested to hear some of your ideas and the things that have happened there. Do you have an actual play thread somewhere on the interwebs that you want folks to go check out where you have played some of these things? Let us know. We'd love to get that information out there to people. But I'm still digging through this big book, but it's been a week for me where I haven't had a whole lot of time to read a whole lot of Trinity Continuum stuff because I've been binging Squid Game. Like I said, I think in the last couple episodes, we've just subscribed to Netflix for like 1 month. I hate Netflix. I don't like to give them money, but we subscribed for like 1 month. So I'm trying to just get everything in that I possibly can before that month runs out. So I watched like all of Squid Game in the last couple of days. That's really taken up a lot of my time. That's a great show, by the way. And anyway, now I'm on to finishing up Stranger Things seasons 3 and 4. But anywho, that's going to wrap it up for this week. If you have a comment, question, you have a story of you, your group taking part in an ISRA game, be sure to let us know. We have a call-in number. That number is 678-369-3214. Just give that a call, leave a message, we'll put you on the show. Or if you'd like to write in to our email, we have an email address at trinitycontinuumairwaves@gmail.com. It's just the name of the show, @gmail.com. And we will read your email on the air. So that's going to wrap it up for me this week. I am off to handle some of these other things, but I hope to see you in the next one.